today. We're coming from Galatians, the book of Galatians, over in the New Testament. And we're coming from chapter 6. So I'll give you a moment to turn to Galatians chapter 6. As you turn, I will share with you that Paul wrote this letter to the churches in a place called Galatia. That is what we call today Turkey. And if you look at the very second verse of chapter 1, it tells you to the churches of Galatia. And this is the only book, only letter that Paul wrote to multiple churches. So he wrote to them to share doctrinal positions, to correct wrong thinking about this relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And today we're coming from the 6th chapter. And it reads, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Prayerfully, for the next few Sundays, we will come from this same chapter, Galatians 6, under a topic of signs of spiritual maturity. Signs of spiritual maturity. And in this, these first five verses, Paul is really saying that we need to support and help one another during this Christian walk. Even in the midst of a pandemic, we still need to support one another. We still need to lift one another up. We still need to pray for one another. We still need to help in the restoration process of a brother or sister who has fallen. So that's what Paul's talking about in these verses. Let me start out with prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege of sharing your gospel to these, your people, Father. Be with me, allow me to speak with clarity and accuracy. Your voice, your words, and your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Restoring somebody. That's the first point. We're going to restore our people. Look at this verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, now the King James says fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, this passage is connected to chapter 5 of Galatians, where the believers were encouraged to live in the spirit and stifle the desires of the flesh. And Paul's applying these principles in the 6th chapter of wanting us to live more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And he's talking to fellow Christians, because we see in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass or a fault, what does that mean? What he's sharing is if somebody is overtaken, which we can translate into tripped up. If someone trips up in a fault, it's up to us, my brothers and sisters, to help and support that one who has tripped up. There are chances that we all have been tripped up during our Christian journey. What are some of the things that trip us up? Or what are some of the faults that we have? Can it be doing the wrong thing? Can it be being with the wrong people? Being in the wrong place? Or have we been smiling in the wrong faces? The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So brothers, if a man is overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, restore one, such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering lest you also be tempted. Now, if we really break this up, we look at this verse, it says that we who are spiritual need to help and support that brother or sister. Other words, we who are spiritually matured needs to help out in the restoration process. And when you look at the word restore, it means to mend. It means to restore. The Greek word really goes back to resetting a broken bone. You know, a broken bone needs to be reset so it can heal properly, so it can mend properly. So therefore, if you are looking to restore something, you are looking at setting it in a position where it can heal properly. You are being not an obstacle in the restoration process of someone, but being part of the restoration process of someone. You know, we as saints, my brothers and sisters, we see brokenness a lot. We even experience it in our own lives and in our own spirit. It is up to us to support one another. You know, it's so much easier to support one another when we are together physically in the same building, when we see each other once or twice a week, or other times when we fellowship with each other, when we break bread together with one another. It is easy to see the signs of someone who has tripped. But in this virtual world, in this physical distancing, we have to seek avenues to check on our brothers and sisters, to check on them, to ask them, how are you really doing? And be prepared to help when we find out. But also this verse tells us the nature of the restoration process. It must be done in meekness. That is the attitude of a spiritual person. We operate out of meekness and love. The spiritually mature walk in the spirit of meekness, while the immature have meek spirits. Spiritual mature seek to restore, while the immature seek to confront. We are here to help each one. And I pray that we can take the opportunity to help one another get through this that we are going through. You know, there's a reason that Paul called the saints in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he called them babes in Christ. That's because they were not spiritually mature yet to understand greater concepts of God's presence. They were not ready to support one another, to restore one another, because they were not spiritually matured. The spirit of meekness, the spirit of meekness and gentleness. It's a spirit that I believe we all have in some sense. Some of us just don't know it. It's a spirit that we have when we realize that we are no better than anyone else, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's the spirit that we have in Ephesians 2, where we know that we're humble enough to realize that our salvation is a gift from God. So therefore, we are no better than anyone else. It's a spirit that lets us know, if not for the grace of God, that could be me. The great preacher, Martin Luther, he gave this advice to a preacher of how to help a fallen brother get right. He said, run unto him. Reach out your hands. Raise him up again. Comfort him with sweet words and embrace him with motherly arms. Do we want to know how to help someone who has fallen, someone who is weak in their faith, someone who's just hanging on? Comfort them. Be with them. Reach out to them. And I always think about Job. When he went through his trial, when his finances were wiped out, when his livelihood was wiped out, when some of his family was wiped out, he had some brothers come to him and just mourn with him. Sometimes presence helps, but in this age of physical distancing, we can't be together like we want to. But yet, knowing that someone cares for me helps. Knowing that someone is on the other end of the phone helps. Knowing that someone has texted me to encourage me helps. Knowing that someone has shared FaceTime with me or whatever helps. It's the thought that someone is praying for us that helps. That helps. You know, no matter how spiritually mature we are, we need to guard ourselves too, so that we cannot fall into the same thing that the person who has fallen is under. That's what that last part of verse 1 says. Considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. You know, if you are not spiritually mature, you can be tempted with whatever has tripped your brother and sister up. Do you know that? You can be tempted by the same thing that has tempted them. The same fault that has tripped them up can trip you up. 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he falls. In other words, don't think we're all that. Amen? Amen. If we're going to help somebody else, let us prepare ourselves spiritually, realizing that our power does not come from ourselves, but comes from our relationship with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, Paul shares with them, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is a burden? A burden is a heavy weight. Bear that. The pulpit commentary says that these heavy loads are those which we bring on ourselves by transgressing the word of God. It can happen in our relationships. It can happen in our social environment. It can even happen in our church. I'd like to think that we all have burdens of different shapes and sizes. We have burdens of temptations, burdens of brought on by physical ailments, by mental disorder, or family crisis, or even our employment status. We have burdens. Share the load with them. Let them know that they have somebody to talk to at any time. Let them know that they can share with you in confidence, a confidence that will not be spread out in the street. And we all know who we can talk to. And we all know who we can talk to who will spread our word out and let everybody know what's going on in our lives. And it says that this fulfills the law of Christ. This fulfills the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 13, jot this down. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's the law of Christ, to have love for one another. You know, occasionally, instead of bearing your burdens, we have people who put more burdens on us. You know, there's a song that the choir sings. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. We will always have the opportunity to trip up. But just because we've tripped up and we have fallen down does not mean we need to stay down. And it's up to us, brothers, it's up to us, sisters, to help and support those who think there's no way out of the situation that they are in. It's up to us to remind them that you are still a child of God. It is up to us to remind them about the faith they have and the relationship they have with God. But I like where Paul goes in verse 3, because he tells us that there are a couple of things that can keep us from bearing others' burdens. You know, there are some people that really don't need to help support other people because they're doing it for the wrong reason. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." In other words, what Paul is saying is, it's not about you. You are not all of that in a bag of chips, as we say sometimes. You know, there are people in our lives that the only way they can make themselves look good is to make others feel bad. Those are the ones that don't need to participate in bearing our burdens. These are the ones who are seeking, as Paul says in Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, there are some who will try to support you who are really envious of you, and they're not in it for the right reasons. But I think deep down inside, we know who we can relate, who we can rely on, who we can depend upon to support us during times of need. So if you're someone who thinks you're all of that, don't try to help somebody else out until you have humbled yourself with a spirit of meekness. I like that verse. Let me read it one more time. "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." You know, if I look in the dictionary, I think of the word conceited. And if we're conceited, we cannot bear another's burdens, because it ends up being all about us and not the person we're trying to help. The other thing in verse 4 is comparing our works with others. Verse 4 says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." One way to keep the proper perspective is to test or prove our own actions by using the Holy Spirit as our measuring stick. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say," Paul says this, "for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." When we compare with others, we set up a situation where the works of the flesh overpower the fruit of the Spirit. For example, when you get an evaluation on your job, you might get exceeds expectations, meet expectations, or does not meet expectations according to the criteria set forth by your employer. And there is a tendency for those who exceed expectations to think more highly of themselves than they ought and be critical of others who do not perform as well. In the spiritual realm, we have one relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit that has endowed us with spiritual gifts to benefit the body of Christ. Have you ever thought that what you exceed in might not be the gift of somebody else? And the gift of somebody else might not be your gift? So therefore, as we examine ourselves, let us examine our own works based on our relationship with God and not measure our works by our relationship with others. And rejoice in what God has gifted us. If we do that, then we will be prepared to bear the burdens of others. Don't you know that to whom much is given, much is required? So we don't need to think we're all that. To whom much is given is all required. Don't you know that Moses communed with God for 40 days and nights on the mountaintop and received the Ten Commandments, only to find disobedient people when he came down? He broke the commandments, and he could have called it quits right then. He could have said, I don't deserve these people. I'm above them. But just because everyone around you is acting foolish does not give us an excuse for not doing God's will for our lives and to help them out. God continued to lead the people of God in a godly manner. He did not put himself above anyone else, but he was there to help them regardless of how they were acting. What if Joshua and Caleb, who voted to go on in the promised land, when the 10 other spies said, we cannot take them over there? What if Joshua and Caleb had voted with the others? No, they stood out on their faith. They led people into their promised land. Just because others don't want to doesn't mean that we don't have the capacity to do. Just because others might not want to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters does not mean that we do not have the capacity to help our brothers and sisters. We see things through different lenses, and those who see things through the lens of the mature know that with God, all things are possible. And in verse 5, Paul says, of Galatians verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Each one shall bear his own load. Whereas verse 2 talks about a heavy burden, verse 5 is talking about the burdens that we carry. He's saying that we all have burdens. And if we think about it, let me use this illustration of a backpack. You can have a backpack on, and I might be able to carry a certain weight in the backpack, where somebody else might not be as strong as me and might not be able to carry as much. I might have extra room in my backpack, so I can take a little bit of load off of you and put some of your books in my backpack. Maybe I can help somebody else out by supporting them with their load. We should be able to help each other bear the heavy burdens of life But each of us has a personal responsibility that only we can bear. Think about it. I want to use another illustration. Think about my automobile, your car, your truck, or whatever. There is a weight capacity. Now, many of us overlook that when we purchase vehicles, but it comes with a weight capacity. That means how much of a load can it carry? How large of a trailer it can pull? And there is an expectation that it can carry that load. But everything above that load is a burden. If you overstuff your car, if you try to pull a trailer that's too heavy, it becomes a burden and presses down and affects other elements of the car. It affects the transmission. It affects the motor. It affects how the brake system, how fast you can brake and how long it takes to come to a complete stop because you have a heavy load. But you know what? If you take some of that load out and put it in your brother's vehicle, then maybe you will be under your weight capacity and you can keep on moving and you can be successful in your travels and arrive at your destination in a safe place while your brother or sister is right behind you with the extra load. And therefore everybody gets there in one spirit. Everybody gets there and has a successful trip. Can you imagine it that way? How many of us try to overstuff ourselves with the burdens of life and reach the breaking point when we just cannot handle anymore? And there have been times in your life when somebody else has come up to you and they have seen your burden. They've seen that you're downtrodden. They see that you're worried and they've just put their arms around you and they've taken some of that weight from you. Can you imagine what it's like to have somebody with you, somebody sitting there crying with you, praying with you, holding your hands? Can you imagine somebody who will take the time to Zoom with you, FaceTime with you, take the time to call you, text you, take the time to really say, I want to carry some of that weight because I have extra room in my vehicle. So let me support you, my brothers and my sisters. That's why you need to be spiritual, because only the spiritual can take on the extra responsibilities of somebody else. Only the spiritually mature can be in a position to be with you during your times of need, realizing that they have their own situations going on, but yet they know that God is able. Yet they know that God is there. Yet they know that God will help them through the process. This message has been sharing the burdens. Those of us who are spiritually mature, we have an obligation to help one another. We have an obligation to seek opportunities where we can help with the burdens of others. Ecclesiastes says that a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. That's because there is strength in unity. When you have somebody else to help with the stress, it is so much easier for us than doing it ourselves. Again, we will all trip up in our lives. The question is, do we stay down or do we get up? And every now and then we need someone to help us get up. God bless you. I pray that this message has been a blessing to one and all. And if God's willing, we will continue in Galatians 6 next week.